Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from beautiful Sun Valley, Idaho. This is your host, DJ Stevie P, coming to you live across the USA and around the world. And this is KSLP Radio. This is My Turn to Speak, and this is a recap show. For the next hour and 59 minutes, what we're going to be doing is reviewing all the past shows that I've done and previewing the next few shows that I have scheduled, with the first one starting tomorrow night. If you want to call in and talk with me about anything, the call-in number is area code 347-850-1572. And as I said, this is your host, DJ Stevie P. And it's a kind of beautiful night here in Sun Valley, Idaho. And I'm trying to pull up that temperature now. But I'd like to thank you for listening. Okay, currently it is 26 degrees here in Sun Valley, Idaho. And as I said, we have an hour and 58 minutes left of the show. We're going to be discussing, as I said earlier, some of my past shows. A lot's happened since my first show back in August. My first show was on Obama and 9/11. I've also done sports shows. I've done a couple on the city council race here in Sun Valley, and the fact that I lost big time. I've done some on other political issues and current events. I did one show on the flooding in Atlanta. I did one show on the Fort Hood shooter and what happened that day. I've done a 9/11 type show dedicated to the memory of those that lost their lives on September the 11th. And so that's pretty much what I've done there. Now, as I said, the call-in number is 347-850-1572. If you want to talk to me, your host, DJ Stevie P, here on blogtalkradio.com. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play a song, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Ask Joan what she... There she goes. Ask Joan what she wanted to sing. I said, if you could sing a song of mine, what'd you want to sing? She said, bring me some wine.
Yes, I did. I used to crank this up in my apartment when I had a crummy little apartment in Brooklyn and Dan.
That's the only way to listen to songs.
Yeah.
To crank it up.
Yeah, great.
In your dirty little apartment.
You ready?
Yeah. Tonight I feel so weak, but all in love is fair. I turn you the cheek
and I feel the slap and the sting of the foul night air.
And I know you're only human,
and I haven't got talking room.
Damn. But tonight, while I'm making excuses,
some other woman is making love to you.
Baby, got walking past, baby. Oh, this night be true. I wanna hear the breaking glass. I wanna feel the steel, the red hot truth.
And I'd do anything to get out of my mind.
I need some insanity, temporary kind.
Tell me how will I ever be the same
when I know that that woman is whispering your name.
Cool beans, we are back, and that was a duet of Bring Me Some Water by Joan Osborne and Melissa Etheridge, and we have a caller, so, caller, you are on the air with DJ Stevie P.
Okay, so what's the topic tonight?
Actually, tonight is a recap. I'm going to just be recapping my previous shows and previewing my future shows. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it kind of like where I've been, and to thank those people who have actually downloaded my show or actually listened to my show, which actually my first show got 55 downloads. Hard to believe. I haven't matched that since, but it's been kind of cool to have that. So
interesting.
Yeah. So and I got some new music, like the song I just played. What'd you think of that?
That was nice.
Yeah.
Better than the Disney Club you've been playing.
I'll try to limit it to one tonight, okay?
Oh, much, much better. Let's keep it in an age level of your listeners.
Well, I don't know what the age level of my listeners are.
Well, you got to think, honey, if it's Florida, it's just about midnight right now. I don't think any children are going to be up. And here in the Midwest, well, it's 11:10
at night. Actually, right now, if it's midnight, which it is on the East Coast, probably every teenager is at the movie theater watching the movie Twilight, New Moon.
I never got into that.
One of my friends
is writing about the characters in a totally different way, and I really like it. She's kind of made it a little bit more interesting, like a lot of my romance novels. And so it's got a little bit of suspense, a little bit of romance, a little bit of heartbreak, and but she's using the characters from Twilight. So it is making me kind of curious on wanting to go and read the book and see what all the, you know, big thing is about Twilight, but it, to
well,
me, it just never caught my attention.
Well, I never read, as you know, but I had a subscription to Netflix, and so I rented the movie and had it sent to me, and it turned out to be pretty good. You know, it was interesting. So I'm actually tomorrow afternoon I might go and catch it. So, but there's actually two good. I mean, besides that one, there's also another good movie that comes out this weekend. And that's called The Blind Side, which is actually a true story.
Yeah, I've seen a lot about that.
Yeah, I saw a thing on ESPN about the real guy that it's based on. And, to me, that looks like maybe an Oscar contender. So.
Well, it has Tim McGraw in it, so he's cute. It works.
I have no preference if Tim McGraw is cute or not. I don't care if he's cute. if I did, we would have some serious problems. Now, wouldn't we, Sol?
Oh, it would be a totally different topic.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, some of my coolest friends have been that way, and some of the prettiest women I've ever seen were drag queens. So, hey, it works.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about?
Not particularly. Just waiting on some snow to hit Kansas, and so I get to play outside in the snow. But other than that, not really. You just told me to call in. I figured there'd be a topic. You haven't given me one, so.
It's a multitude of topics. The topic is actually past shows. My past shows. That is the and my future shows, like the show tomorrow night, which I will discuss Attorney General Eric Holder and the whole Khalid Sheikh Mohammed thing and having that trial in New York City, which I think is a bunch of BS. And I have to throw out a listener discretion as advice for tomorrow night's show, because usually when I talk about 9/11. I usually use a few choice words because that's just the way I feel. And speaking of that, that was my first show, was about Obama and 9/11, about how he was planning on changing 9/11. And I sent a thing out to my friends on Facebook. You got it. And then you copied it, and about that letter. And
one of my friends didn't like that.
I saw that.
I'm not saying, you know, he's totally a bad president. I just think that he's got some things that he's doing wrong,
No
president is perfect. Hell,
no.
Clinton couldn't keep his pants up,
Kennedy was kind of the same way, but it was in the closet.
Well, of course, dear, because back then women didn't talk about their husbands cheating on them. It was okay.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they'll get, you know, beat to death with a frying pan. So, we're more open about adultery and whatnot in today's society.
I look at it like this. I spent 8 years, and I was glad to defend George W. Bush. I spent 8 years defending him from idiots out there, and, you know, from people that just totally hated them for whatever reason.
I, I think Bush made a very big mistake after 9/11. He changed a lot of things in immigration. I have a coworker that I'm going to have to work overtime for. Her husband of 6 years is fixing to be sent back to Mexico because he went to go see his mother on her deathbed, and they said he broke his probation. Now, they are married, and they've been happily married. And because he went to go see his mother without getting permission, because it would have taken too long, now he's going to be sent back to Mexico for 10 years.
As 10 when did years, that happen?
It's happening now. He goes to court next week.
I mean, when did he go see his mother-in-law?
Last week.
Okay. Well, see, that kind of falls under Obama's jurisdiction.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, Steve. All that happened after 9/11. Now, there are women that are my mother's age that if the government finds out that they came here legally, they are being deported back after being here for 50-plus years. If their children are born here, they are no longer having the right to say, well, their children are here, therefore they have to stay. There's another case of a woman here in Kansas who evidently she ticked somebody off or did something. I don't know the particulars of it. All I know is she has 3 children under the age of 5. They are going to rip her away from her family and send her back to Mexico without her children. Her children are United States citizens. They are allowed to stay here, but
yeah,
she cannot, and she's being deported back. You know what? I have a big issue with the immigration thing now because, you know, everybody says, well, the Mexicans and all the illegal immigrants are taking their jobs. Well, you know what? If people would get off their butt and go out there and pick up garbage off the side of the road, watch their own kids in California instead of playing with Fifi at the, you know, social club and drinking themselves senseless, and actually take the lower-end jobs so that they could work, instead of saying, oh, well, that's too beneath me. I'm not going to wipe butts for a living. I'm not going to sit there and pick trash up. I'm not going to go work out on a farm picking tomatoes or cabbage or anything else and sit there and work for a living.
I agree with you because those people need to have a serious reality check. Now, I know of a business where they have cut back on their international visas for this coming year, so they can hire more Americans that otherwise typically would not do some of the jobs that people that come over from other countries would do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but because of the fact that the unemployment rate in this country is at 10.2%, which is a by person fault. It's what I mean by that is in the government, it's both everybody in Congress, it's their fault.
Of course.
And both of the current and previous administrations, yes, I'm saying it, that it was partially Bush's fault, but Obama passed that stupid stimulus spending $787 billion spending bill. He said unemployment wouldn't get past 9%, and we're at 10.2, and the jobless numbers came out today, and another like 500,000 people across the country filed for unemployment for the first time in the last week. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's just
I mean, do not get me wrong. If they come here and they break our laws, as in California where you have a big Mexican gang issue, if they break our laws and they are the first ones to be drug dealers, gangsters, whatever, yes, I totally agree. Send them back. Do not let them sit in our jails.
Well, they're breaking the law by coming here.
I understand that, dear, but you know what? If there was not a need for cheap labor here because we have too many people that would rather sit on their butts and get cash assistance.
Yeah, I know.
90% of those people that come here illegally do not use the government as they are portrayed to be. They are hardworking. They pay their taxes while they're here, and they do what they need to care for not only their family that is here, But they send 90% of their checks back home to Mexico to support their families.
Oh, yeah.
If the United States did not have the need for them, then they wouldn't be here. They would be in their own country. But you know what? As I said before, I gladly say, fine, you want them all to leave? Fine. Send them back. Send them back and see what happens to this this country. This country was built on immigrants.
Yeah, that came here
illegally. And not all of them.
No, I'm a good majority of them, though. But
not
all
of them.
No. You know, it's the same. Let me just say that it's the same with any type of minority group where a small percentage of them puts a bad name out there for all the rest of them. Illegal immigration and you know, Latinos, would it be? Or if it's like Muslims and this thing with this Islamic extremist nut job that shot up and killed, they say 13, but I'm actually saying 14 because one of the soldiers that died was actually pregnant with a little baby, and of course the baby died too, so I'm saying 14 dead and like 30 or 35 or whatever it was that was injured. And of course everything now is so politically correct, it's not funny. You know, everything
right.
This in this day and age is so politically correct. People can't say what they want to say without fear of some sort of prosecution, whether it be from the lamestream media or from, you know, individuals that
Well, the thing is going to happen is fine. If they want all the illegal immigrants to go back to the country, fine. But you know what? I want to see what's going to happen to all those children in California that their rich mommies and daddies are too busy living their high lifestyle to take care of them. They are not raising their children.
No.
They are not out there cleaning their streets. They are not out there taking the lower-end jobs because they are too far above it. And we have too many people that would rather sit at home and pop out kids and live off the government and let them use our tax dollars rather than take the lower-end jobs.
And the reason that so many people are out there doing that, and you and I both saw that when we was at Jackson. I mean, you saw, you know, mamas with no baby daddy, you know, that had the gold teeth, they had the nice clothes, they had the jewelry, and their baby was sitting in the daycare center on school property.
Well, you know, I knew a lot of people that I worked with and that I saw in Jacksonville. I would ask them, okay, how are you on state assistance and you're driving an Escalade?
Yeah.
How are you having good credit and you're on state assistance?
Yeah.
You got cash assistance and, you know, when me as a single mom, I work my butt off, I'm barely covering my bills, I do it the honest way, and there's no help. Nobody's in Jacksonville hunting down my ex-husband, telling him that he owes $2,400. You know, he is not responsible.
Well,
therefore, women like me who struggle get told, "Well, we're working on it." But women like that, and women and men like that, because there are men that are using the government.
Oh, I know, absolutely.
You know, it's very frustrating, and it makes you say, "Okay, why bother?"
Yeah.
Why bother with any of it?
Let me say this. Speaking of your ex-husband, he's a scum ass, okay? Mildly put, he's scum. The fact, and I mean, as someone who's a child of divorce, as I am, I've seen it from that perspective. So I understand the child's perspective of it. The fact that you know, basically he wants nothing to do with you or your kids, and the fact that he's not being a man, because he's not a man. You know, he may think he's a man, but he's not a man because he's not taking care of his responsibilities, which until the age of 18, and then even past that, his kids are his responsibility. But plain and simply put, your ex-husband is a scum ass. Okay?
No, that's just common knowledge, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when they force all these people out, which, you know, like I said, fine, do it. You want to do it, do it. Send them all back to their country, you know, whatever. I want to see what's going to happen to our government.
Well,
what's going to happen to our everything, you know, in our country, because it's nothing's going to work.
Well, let me ask
And the unemployment rate will still go up and up.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that our borders need to be more secure than they are?
Yes.
Okay.
But not to the point that the government is sitting there saying they're going to build a wall. That's ridiculous.
Well, see,
they have enough, you know, on their hands to sit there and say, we're going to waste more tax dollars and more time by building this wall. Like, nobody's going to be able to break through it. Okay? If those people want in, they're going to come in.
Well, see, it's not only illegal immigrants that are coming in, it's also possible terrorists that are coming in. It's not just our southern border, it's also our northern border. As you know,
mm-hmm.
an example of people that was extremists, Islamic terrorist extremists that was caught trying to cross the border from Canada into the United States before the Millennium Celebration back in 1999, and
mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna try to add a caller to this and see what he says. So let's see. Hey, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, and first caller, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so caller number two, what is your name?
This is your friend.
Okay, Daryl. Okay, so what do you think about the topic that we're discussing?
Let me see. As the lady was saying, your first caller was saying, illegal immigrants are coming over here illegally, but the ones that come over here, honestly, shouldn't have to go back, but that's the government. You can't fight the government.
You can try to change the government, but it's very hard work, and it takes more than just one person. Believe me, I know. I tried, you know, unsuccessfully. I tried, but it takes more than one person to try to change the government.
Well, let me ask your caller something. Do she think it's all Obama's fault?
No.
No.
I don't think it's all Obama's fault. I think this started back when Bush took it a little too far, and he decided, well, if the way we're going to protect our country is to basically build up our walls and send everybody out that's not supposed to be here, and, you know, it was started way before. It was started way before, but now it's gotten to the point where it's hurting families more than helping. We are ripping apart families that have been here for some of them close to 25, 30 years. And now we're telling them, okay, well, we just found out that you're illegal. Get the heck out.
What can we do as Americans? I mean, you can go to your congressman. You can go to your state council. I mean, you can do something to try to help.
As what my friend is going through, she is being told by two different lawyers that there's nothing that can be done, that Obama keeps promising that he is going to rectify it to where people do not have to go back if they have been here, if they're married, if they have children, you know, here for so many years. But it's going to take years, and he probably won't do it until he's fixing to leave office. So she's being told that her husband, who she loves dearly, granted they don't have children together, but he's helped raise her children from the first marriage she was in, and now he's going to have to go back. She refuses to annul the marriage. She refuses to divorce him because she loves him. She's going to have to spend 10 years of their marriage away from him.
Now, see, that ain't right. I mean, if you marry, let them stay together. It don't matter if she's illegal. Illegal what? They marry. They're American citizens. They marry. Let them be together. Leave them alone. Do you agree?
Immigration says that's not the case anymore because of what Bush put into office. It's no longer the case. There are, as in the other cases here locally, a mother of three young children, granted she was on parole, and I believe it was probably for, you know, driving under the influence. She broke her probation by doing something. I didn't get the particulars of it. I don't believe it was drinking and driving again. Anyway, she broke her probation. Now she's going to be sent back permanently. She will never be able to come back and see her children.
I see that as a different story, though. The first
guy,
if he's done nothing wrong, then I say, as Daryl said, I say let him stay in the country. Now, unfortunately, Obama is too busy worrying about health care, bowing to foreign leaders, and, you know,
busy kissing everybody else's butt and trying to get everybody to like us again. This country was not built on getting people to like us. You know,
no.
We pissed off England immediately because we told them we did not want to be part of their government anymore.
Exactly.
And we wanted to be regulated by ourselves.
Yeah.
We were not meant to be everybody's friend. We were meant to be our own country.
Wait a minute.
We were meant to piss people off. That's what we were meant to do.
We were meant to protect our own. And
so
I understand he's trying to build up where Bush, after 9/11, basically told everybody to fight his butt, and he didn't care because he's a good old boy from Texas, and that was his way of handling it. I understand, but there has to be a happy medium. We cannot sit there and basically beg for everybody else's forgiveness on what Bush did. He was our president, and granted, he may have made some mistakes, but we are not. But it's no different. It is no different than when our stars, our country music stars like the Dixie Chicks, go to other countries and say, well, screw it. You know, we don't agree with our president. We don't agree. That makes us look like fools.
Yeah,
but don't we have to clean up? Don't this president have to clean up what Bush laid down? Okay, Bush did, like you said, did some wrong stuff. And everybody trying to say this president is wrong. He can't do it all in 4 years. It's going to take a while to straighten up this country. It's going to take a long while.
Okay.
But at least he's trying. Okay, he's saying we're going to suck ass. Okay, we got to suck ass to some countries to get something.
Let me say this. This is my Blog Talk Radio. This is DJ Stevie P. And I have on the phone Sol from Kansas and Daryl from North Carolina, and we are currently discussing how much of a bum Obama is compared to George Bush, who some people think he's a bum, which I don't. But we're currently discussing that. If you want to get in on the conversation, it's Erica 347-850-1572. And we're going to continue on with this conversation now. So,
a bum.
Obama.
No, Bush is a bum.
Okay.
Bush did stuff. Y'all keep saying, Obama might not be the best. Y'all might not think Obama's the best president, but he's better than Bush. Give the man a chance. Bush was in there for a long time, and he messed up this system completely. It's going to take somebody to straighten it out what Bush messed up.
Okay, Daryl.
And that's going to do overnight.
Daryl, have we been attacked again since 9/11? In the following September 11th, starting on September 12th, 2001, through January 20th, 2009, when Bush left office, were we attacked again? The answer is no.
Well, we're not attacked now.
So far.
We are.
No. So far, we have not been attacked. But my point is, we were not attacked at all for the 8 years after 9/11 while Bush was in office, and it was because of his policies that he put into place, and he's him saying, you're either with us or you're against us. And the policies of, you know, spying on these enemies of the United States, you know, doing the waterboarding and the other tactics that were used, which were all legal. Now you have a president in office who doesn't even want to use the term war on terror, who does not call people extremists, who would rather not piss off Islam instead of defending his own country, who has done nothing but badmouth his country to every time he goes overseas. That is all he's done since he's been in office. Okay, then you have an attorney general who decides that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and these other four bastards that were masterminds of 9/11, which almost 3,000 people were killed, are now going to be tried in the United States.
So what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? They're not going to be on trial. The Bush administration is going to be on trial. Anything that the CIA got, any sort of information that was got, can be thrown out the window. You have now where on the battlefield, you know, it's almost to a point where they're reading them Miranda rights. These people don't have rights of a United States citizen. They're enemy combatants. But yet, Obama wants to go through and do all this crap and put it out there where, oh, we'll just try them in the United States. No, keep them in Guantanamo Bay. Keep that open. Let the military tribunals, which if these trials go through, these civilian trials go through, then all the information that's been collected and how it was collected and why it was collected on these terror suspects is going to be put out there for our enemies to know. Basically, our secrets, our homeland security secrets, are going to be known by our enemies, and it's going to eventually increase attacks on the United States. Not only that, but these five bastards that were masterminds of 9/11 are going to be considered as heroes in the Islamic world.
But you know, me and you, we're going to always disagree on this. I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican. We're always going to disagree on this subject. You always are.
Yeah.
Is that caller still there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
You know,
are you a Republican or Democrat?
I'm neither.
She's an independent.
Okay.
I'm an independent. So, I vote where I see who's going to be the better candidate.
Okay,
and
do you think Obama's going to be turn out to be a good candidate, a president?
I honestly don't think so. I don't think he was prepared for it. I think he's trying to make amends to too many people that have not given a damn what's been happening to us. Here's the main thing. The first thing he did that really insulted me, okay, was he sits there and bows to all these people that have nothing to do with us, that have never given us any help, that have never been respectful to us and to other countries, but yet his wife had the audacity to go up to the Queen of England and hug her like she's just the girl
next door. A
regular
person. Like
that was the
person.
Highest amount of disgrace that the United States has ever given.
Because she
country.
Hugged the Queen of England?
Because she hugged the Queen. Do you know how disrespectful that is? You don't touch royalty. But he will sit there and bow to other ambassadors and other presidents or whatever you want to call them of other countries. But he treats the Queen of England like she's just the home girl next door. Oh, yeah, go up and hug her. No, you don't touch them. Never have you gone back and seen anybody hug the Queen of England. It is.
So you're saying the Queen of England, is better than Miss Obama?
Well, it's – no, it's –
she's better than Miss Obama.
It's a figurehead. because she's a figurehead, that's a position of respect. And I mean, the queen.
So her going up there hugging her, that's disrespect.
Yes.
Yes, it is disrespectful. You are not. You are supposed to curtsy. You are never ever supposed to touch the Queen of England or anyone.
If the Queen, of England don't have a problem, why do you have a problem with it?
You know what? They did. Her whole country, actually, if you would have paid, if anybody really would have, you know, seen, England flat out said, you know, that's something that just was not done. Their own people were shocked by it.
But if you read the paper, the Queen came out and said it did not bother her what Miss Obama did. She thought it was kind and sweet and nice. She did not have a problem with that. Her country people did, but she didn't have a problem with it at all. She came out and said that. I do not have a problem with what she did to me. It was a friendly gesture. I enjoyed it. It didn't bother me. The people over here did, but it didn't bother me. So if it didn't bother her,
why
should it bother
us? Okay, and then tell me this. Why is it okay for her to hug in all his supporters' eyes? Why is it okay for them to break tradition and hug her, but yet it's, you know, he's, you know, going to stick with a higher tradition in his eyes and salute all these people by bowing to them,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and treating them like they are, have a higher precedence.
I don't see nothing wrong with it. If the Queen didn't have a problem with it, hey, that's between them two. She didn't have a problem with it. It happened.
It is all about respecting. You know, if they're going to respect, okay. In other words, if they're going to respect and give a higher importance to other countries, and they're going to stick to tradition and try and show, oh, well, we honor you and salute them in the way that they see fit, in other words, bowing, you know, fine. But you cannot sit there and say, okay, well, we're going to treat these countries of more importance than we are others.
Steve, you see what I'm saying? If the Queen didn't have a problem with it, and Obama didn't have a problem, and Miss Obama didn't have a problem, why do we have a problem with it?
Well, of course, Obama didn't have a problem with it.
Queen didn't either.
You're talking about a man that spent 20 years in a church with Reverend Wright, where he said, "God damn America," and 9/11 was the chickens coming home to roost.
But that's his opinion.
But then Obama.
It's also a radical opinion.
But
it also says that, you know, while he enjoys the fruits and labors of America, he doesn't give a damn about the citizens of it.
But
and the fact that he was part of that, and the fact that the president considered him, you know, somebody he looked up to is actually quite frightening. It'd be no different than if one of our presidents came up and said, wow, you know, I really respect Hitler for what he, you know, his ideals and beliefs. If one of our white presidents were to come out and say that, all hell would break loose.
Yes,
but because this man saw this other radical, if we want to call him that, you know, preacher who said, you know, we deserve it, and basically it's no different than other, you know, radical priests that have come forth and said, well, the reason why, you know, our soldiers are dying overseas is because we have gays in the military and we allow gays, and, you know, it's not right. And the fact is he looked up to this man. He saw him as an icon and as a leader. And it'd be no different than if Bush came out and said, yeah, I really respect Hitler for his ways, and, you know, he's one of my homeboys.
But see, it's not only that, but Reverend Wright married him and his wife. He christened his children. And it wasn't just Reverend Wright. It was also Bill Ayers, who was the founder of the Weather Underground, the one that blew up, someplace in New York in the 60s. I mean, and then, you know, he had him in his house and, you know, considered him one of his friends. And these people that he's surrounding himself with now in the White House,
Do not get me wrong. I am not truly a Republican. If Hillary would have won, her, what the heck is that called, Steve?
What?
If she would have been nominated for president. You know, if she would have won the Democratic
nomination.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
If she would have won, I would have voted for her. I liked Hillary. I sometimes do not respect everything that comes out of her mouth, as, you know, just like I didn't respect everything that came out of Bush or Clinton. You know, I wasn't old enough to vote for Clinton. I was not old enough to vote for Clinton, but had I been able to, I would have voted for him.
Yeah, but you know what
I didn't agree with all of his ideals, but I thought he was the right man for the job. And evidently,
you know who's been running this country? It wouldn't have been Hillary. It'd have been her. It would have been her husband. He'd been telling her what to do and what not to do.
Okay.
Because he would have been in her. He would have been in her pocket, whispering to everything she said, and she'd be listening.
And she didn't do the same thing while he was being president.
Yeah, that,
I hate to break it to you. That woman has more smarts in her finger than that man ever did in his pants. Who do you think was running this country while he was? She was out there doing all the legwork. She was out there busting her butt. She was out there meeting people. She was the one making him be a president.
Yeah.
That woman did more for his career than he ever did. He was too worried about, I'm going to go play with Monica. No, he didn't care. He wanted his cigars. He wanted the luxury of being a president.
Yeah.
That woman did more for his career than he ever did.
But it's not
What president is ever honest? Come on now. You give me one president was ever honest.
Abraham Lincoln?
Before my time. I'm talking about now. Tricky Dicky was wrong.
Of course Tricky Dicky was wrong. But Kennedy, granted, he was still screwing around with Marilyn Monroe, but our country was totally in a better spot than what it was after.
But what I'm saying is that every president, George W. Bush had his wife Laura, his father had Barbara, Barack Obama has Michelle. They're all there to support their husband. And just like if Hillary had won, God forbid, and hell would have froze over,
her husband would have been there.
Bill would have been first gentleman, and he would have been there to support his wife, which he would have done.
Just like,
you know,
I thought McCain would have been, you know, I voted for McCain. Was I totally thrilled with Palin? No. Do I think she has a lot to learn? Yes. Could she eventually become the right woman to be president? Possibly. But she has to get out there and quit portraying this, oh, I'm so pretty, look at me, I miss America, and start paying attention. Start paying attention to a...
Yes, she does.
Steve, I'm a woman, and I like Sarah Palin, do not get me wrong, but there are moments when she opens her mouth, I just want to go up to her and say, girlfriend, you need to shut up.
No, I want to put a sock in it.
And don't open it. Think before you speak. We
yeah.
all have those moments in life. We all do have those moments of our mouth opens and the words that come out afterwards, you're like, ooh, did I really just say that?
You know, she want to run it in 4 years.
Believe me, as a former candidate myself, I had one of those moments. So
she wants to run in 4 years, right?
Correct.
Of course. Maybe. She has not determined that yet.
Let her stay in Alaska.
Well, you know what? I think she has a little bit more growing to do. And, you know, I can respect the fact that she wants to lead this country. And, yes, it would be interesting to see a woman become president. Do I think our country is ready for it?
Nope.
Possibly not. But you know what? Everybody said the same thing about, you know, a black president. A lot of our citizens were not ready for it. And
they still ain't.
When I did vote for Obama, it had nothing to do with race. It had everything to do with the fact that I think his ideals and who he looks up to are a little bit worrisome. I think the
not
fact
just a
that
a little bit.
I think he's I think, honestly, he worries me severely to the point where I wonder often who he is really supporting. Everybody speculates, but, you know, my biggest fear is, okay, Bush put us in severe debt.
Yep.
So did Clinton. When Clinton made it to where anybody like me, I will be the first person to say, nowhere in the past 10 years should I have been a homeowner because I was not financially ready for it. When Clinton made it to where any Joe Schmo could buy a house, look at what's happening now. People are losing houses left and right because they got into brand new homes that they couldn't really afford.
Exactly.
In Miami alone, the bankrupt market of homes going under foreclosure is astronomical because they put people that make minimum wage in $200,000 homes. Now, you tell me how somebody making $6 an hour can pay off a $200,000 house on their own, being a single parent. It just didn't happen. Clinton damaged a lot of this country by opening doors to the lower income people. There is a reason why we shouldn't be able to afford certain things. I will be the first person to say that because I too lost my house because people don't realize the great responsibility financially they are getting into when becoming a home buyer, because anything that can happen to you as a person financially, the minute you buy a house, it will happen.
Yeah.
I lost my job, I lost my cars, my husband wasn't working, I wasn't working. I lost a home, and I didn't even live there for 6 months because of the fact that we were able to buy it, and anybody who looked at our income and our past credit should not have been able to. So each president has damaged this country all the way back from Reagan. The whole Reaganomics hurt small businesses. Small businesses went under because they couldn't afford to keep their head above the water.
And
Steve, I know you love Reagan, but you know what? Even he damaged this country.
And what
every
about Carter?
Every president has – correct. Every president has hurt and helped this country. Mm-hmm. My fear is what is Obama going to do to hurt it? What is he going to do to help, and what is he going to do to hurt? Because let me tell you something. This whole health care package is great. I understand that there are people out there without health insurance. Trust me, I was there for close to 10 years. Okay? My children had health insurance because they were under state coverage. I did not, and neither did my ex-husband. But how much are we going to forfeit to have it? And, you know, look at England. Their taxes are almost at 95% that they have to give back to their country. But here's the difference. Everybody is covered under health care. These are the things we have to consider. Yes, we want the same thing where everybody's covered under a state plan or a government plan. Everybody has health insurance. But do they realize the taxes that are going to be heaped on us to have
some
it?
Some people do. Some people do. And let me say this, okay, about Sarah Palin. Nobody else, the kind of treatment that she has gotten in the media is absurd. The cover of Newsweek is sexist, to say the least. Okay, there was 11 people that looked at her book from the Associated Press to fact check it. That didn't happen with Obama. You either like Sarah Palin or you hate her. Okay, it's not a fact of anything else but that. Now, as far as Obama and this health care plan, the thing is that there's going to be taxes on everything if this bill goes through. Which on Saturday the Senate is voting to open discussion on this. If they vote to open discussion, then it's going to go through. Unfortunately, it's going to go through. So hopefully the senators will vote not to open discussion on that, because you start paying for it immediately, but it does not kick in until 2014. That's when it starts kicking in, 5 years from now.
Steve, you should make your show longer.
It's 2 hours.
I thought it was an hour.
I moved it up.
Oh, good. Because you knew you get on the subject, it's going to be longer than 2 hours.
Yeah, I knew I'd have somebody to talk, so. Yeah, I moved it up earlier to 2 hours. So, yeah, there's an hour and 4 minutes left. So.
Well,
I do worry about what's going to happen with Obama, with his beliefs. And I truly do worry that he is looking to become friends with the wrong countries, the wrong people, and he's showing too much respect to people who could hurt us. And as a citizen, I worry what's going to be the long-term ramifications of it. You know, when it came down to the choice between McCain and Palin and Obama, I did vote for McCain. Did I think they were going to, and I thought there were going to be things that, you know, McCain would have done wrong. I think, you know, each president and presidential candidate can bring good and bad things to the table. Yes, Obama won. You know, I do think that everybody should try and see what he's going to do, but so far I've not seen anything promising. And Bush, God bless him, you know, he did not ask for September 11th to happen. And the way that he handled it on 98% of it, he handled it well. Because, you know, you saw it in his face the minute he realized that happened. That set precedence for his whole 4 years and then continued on for the full 8.
Yeah.
You know, no president asks for that. The last time that happened was during Pearl Harbor that we ever got attacked. No president is ever ready to have to create a war and to have to go into war because somebody hurt us. And the thing is I am worried by the fact that now we are wanting to make it easier for these people in Guantanamo. Okay, yes, everybody's finding out about waterboarding. Everybody's finding out about how we get the truth out of these people. But let me give everybody a clue. This stuff has been going on for years, okay? How do you think we handled everybody else who tried to hurt us? The Japanese, you know, the Russians, and the Germans. How do you think we as a country survived even all the way back to when we first got started? Do you think we treated the English right? Do you think we played patty cake with them when we were starting a war? No, we did anything we had to gain our freedom and to gain our security. So for a president to sit there and start putting out there our business, Steve is right. When these boys go to trial, everything our country has done to get the truth out of terrorists and radicals is going to come out.
And that's what's going to be on trial.
It's not going to be the men. They could give three shits. Excuse my language. They couldn't give a damn what's going to happen to those men because they're probably going to go back to jail and eventually they'll go on death row with all the other people that are waiting to be killed. Okay, and they're going to get three hots in a cot. They're not going to have to worry about.
I got to get out of here because I got to go do something with my wife in the morning. So, Steve, it was an interesting conversation this evening.
Yes, and make sure you download it so you can hear what the rest of it is.
Yeah.
Let me say this, Darrell. She was saying about the English and Americans during the Revolutionary War. A good example of that, good movie to watch if you have never watched it, great movie to watch, is The Patriot.
I've seen it.
Absolute fabulous movie to watch. I absolutely love that movie, but the level of brutality on both sides is something that, I mean, it's tame compared to what really happened back then. So I bid you good night, Darrell. Thank you for calling in. And I thought you had some sort of surprise for me.
No, you got a show tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I got a show tomorrow night. Yeah.
Amy got the surprise for you tomorrow night.
Okay. Oh God.
So yeah, it'll be tomorrow night, and I changed my show from Saturday to Sunday at 6 because I'm going to the circus Saturday.
Okay. Every day with you is the circus.
No, I'm going to the Universal.
The Universal Circus.
Yeah, it's here. Okay. So I'm going there this Saturday. So we changed my show until Saturday.
Just don't fall, okay?
Yeah, okay. And I know you'd be calling my talk show Saturday, Sunday, and I will call you tomorrow night. And
yeah.
Y'all continue to have this discussion.
Okay.
And I will listen, download, and see what happens.
All right. Well, you have a good night, Daryl.
All right. And you too, young lady.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Daryl and from Charlotte, North Carolina. I went to Yellowstone with him. And we're still on the phone with Sol talking. And very lively discussion, very good discussion, very educated discussion tonight. And I hadn't done that before with two callers on the phone at the same time, so that was interesting. So every time with my show is something new. So so do you have anything else to say, Sol?
Mm-mm. No, pretty much you've gotten me to speak as much as I'm going to tonight. Now you got me all riled up. Now I'm not going to be able to go to sleep. Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I told somebody this one time. If I can get somebody riled up or if I piss somebody off, then I'm doing my job. So,
mm-hmm.
and I'll make sure to post this on Facebook, saying that you were on the show, so I can get more people.
Oh, please don't! I swear, please don't! I don't need people to hear how Southern I sound and sit there and laugh at me, because you know I never really listened to myself, and when I finally did, I wanted to cry because you know. I hate sounding like a hick.
Well, it's better than me.
Like?
But the thing is, I sound like a woman, okay? I do. Okay, you sounding Southern is a hell of a lot better than me sounding like a woman. And I'm a straight dude, okay? But yet
I said we've always questioned that, though.
No, I don't think you've questioned that. You shouldn't have questioned that, by the way. But if you did, you should have questions within yourself.
No, dear. I question the fact that you're the only man I know that can sit there and say, if the tiara fits, I'll proudly wear it. You know, it's just not something that most men would be able to
say. I didn't say that. When did I say that?
Oh, you used to post little pictures of it all over your profile.
I'm having a memory lapse here, so.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there was that one thing with my yearbook yourself, and it was just funny, so that's why I posted it. It looked like I was a homecoming queen. It was just funny, so that's why I did it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you just have to, you know, cross the line and just, you know, blur the edges a little bit and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
make yourself stand out, even if it's not in such a good light, you know, like me running for office. So.
Steve, I think we've made ourselves stand out for many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to try it anymore.
Well, I'm trying.
I mean, how much more can you stand out when you have a famous name like Poindexter, okay?
Yeah, don't remind me, okay? I know. That's not my fault. That goes back several generations, okay?
Hey, well, you know what? It's in the Hollywood movies, okay? Everybody.
And it's on the radio and TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was watching Glee a few weeks back, and they was redoing Bust a Move, and it's my name is in that song.
Mm-hmm.
it's like I can't get away from that crap. It's like that's why I stopped wearing glasses. Yeah, I'm pretty much blind now, and it's hard for me to see.
Why don't you go get the LASIK surgery?
It's too damn expensive, especially up here. Everything up here is expensive.
Well, that's because you're up there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, if they had blowjobs, they'd be expensive, but they don't.
Steve!
You know?
Oh, my God, Steve! Oh, Jesus.
I'm just saying, what I'm saying for everybody out there is that everything is expensive. Luckily, they don't have that here because this is such a conservative community, and they don't have that here. So
they have it there. You just don't realize it.
Well, they don't have strip clubs here. That's one thing they don't have here. Of course, they also don't have Walmart, which, you know, anyway. But I'm just saying everything here is pretty expensive in you know, up here in Sun Valley. So, okay, that was the comment I just said. That was one of those things, me saying something without thinking. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You need to think first, speak after a few seconds, and always ask, will I regret this in the future?
Yeah.
You know, sort of like when I took my marriage vows to my ex-husband, I knew the minute I said them, I was going to regret them sometime in the future. Well,
yeah,
it happened.
I knew that when I first met the sorry ass, you know. So.
Well, hopefully, you know, everything will work out. And the thing is, no one can control everything in life. So
that's
otherwise, life would be truly, truly boring.
And you know something. You know something. This is one of the reasons I started doing this show. It's because for years, and you know this because you know me and you've known me for a while. Okay, for years I have had a voice, and every time I start to say something, people's like, "Well, you just need to shut up," or you know, you don't know what you're talking about, or you know. So this is my way, and that's why I call it my turn to speak. This is my chance to get out there and say something and you know, about what's bothering me and what, you know, issues that I have. And I have some serious, serious issues with Obama. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think he's a total scum. And I have a right to feel that way.
And as I told my friend when he's actually my ex-boyfriend from middle school, but, you know, Austin, he was like, well, you know, this isn't right. Everybody's picking on him. And I flat out said, it's no different than when people were bashing Bush or Reagan.
But it was a lot worse. It was a lot worse. When people was bashing Bush. And now it's like Obama doesn't have thick skin and can take it. He declared war on Fox News. What the hell is that? You know?
Well, honestly, you know, when I moved here to Kansas, I like to watch the news, don't get me wrong. But it got to the point where I was living in a household where that was on 24/7, and all I heard about was, let's see what the president's doing now. You know, it does become a bit much, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's something that each news media is going to broadcast what they want. It's their way of you know, basically letting everybody know their opinions. If this country was not the way it was, you know, that's what makes us great. We are allowed to voice our opinions. But the bad side of it is, yes, there are a lot of people that are afraid to, because now if you sit there and do not agree with Obama or say anything against him, there are those out there will say, well, you're just racist. Well, no, it's not racism.
No.
Okay? It's the right to say, okay, I do not agree with how our country is being run. And when you throw the race card in there, it just makes it really, really hard for anybody else to sit there and feel okay to say, hey, I don't agree with this. Something's got to change.
And you
as
know,
a lot of people did with Clinton and with Bush. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And the thing is, though, is that was actually done today by Jesse Jackson. Okay? There was a black congressman from Alabama that voted. He was one of the 215 and he was a Democrat, voted against the health care bill, okay? And Jesse Jackson came out today, and he was the only person from the black congressional caucus to vote against this. Jesse Jackson came out today and said, well, if you voted against it, then you're not black.
And see, that's where it's wrong, because, you know, when you just throw it out there, like, oh, well, because you don't agree with me, you're racist.
Yeah.
It takes it to a place where it makes
it
people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to be thought of that way. You know, there really are racist people out there.
Yeah.
And there really are people that do say, well, you know, because they don't want a black president. That was never an issue when I went to make my vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, that wasn't an issue either.
If Colin Powell would have run, I would have voted for him. Why? Because he has the military experience and he's a great leader. But he said he didn't want that. He did not want that responsibility. And I can respect that. Being a president not only is a tough job, it drains you physically. If you go back and look at the before and after pictures of each president, it makes you look 20 years older.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. Okay, during the campaign and since, there are some MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC that there were people that every time Obama spoke, they got a thrill running up their leg. You know, there were women anchors, and they'd say it on the news that they was having dreams about him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these people are reporting the news. How can they be fair and impartial when they're saying that on the air?
Everybody thought Kennedy was a good-looking president. All the women loved him because he was good-looking.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is today's society, we are much more open with our opinions than we were back then. Back then, divorces were considered very risque, very taboo. You did not do it. You were meant to stay with your husband, no matter if he beat you within an inch of your life. You know, the man was the ruler of the house. Now women have taken control. You know, there are men who are house husbands. You know, they stay home and raise the children while the women are going out making $50,000 a year. It just goes to show over the years how much we have evolved into a different society.
Yeah.
But yes, it is disrespectful. We shouldn't, once again, it's the whole monitor what you say. Think before you say it.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that I think about from my youth that I go back and I think about what I've said, and all I can think in my mind is, what was I thinking? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? I could have handled that situation so much better and not, you know, put myself in that situation. But,
yeah,
you know,
hindsight,
it's always 20/20. Yes, especially with you, genius. but overall, you know, you have to be able to live with your decisions and your choices and what you say.
That's what makes us who we are today, is the choices that we made, the decisions that we made, our life experiences that we made. I'll tell you this, and, you know, I was on a, I was a member, was, past tense, was a member of the Andrew Jackson community on Neen.com, Okay. And the person that was in charge of that, I would post some things, and there would be things on there about Tigers for Obama, and there was nothing about Republican Tigers or nothing like that, and that was fine. But I you know, discussion about, you know, Obama and some of the things that he's done wrong, and I mean, number one, that comment got censored, and my comments got censored, and I had somebody actually say to me, "Oh, you must change your opinions when you moved to Idaho." No, no. What changed me, what woke me up, and what took my eyes and opened them was 9/11. You know, after 9/11, I started to realize what the news was really about. I mean, before 9/11, I had a huge thing for Katie Couric. I thought she was so hot. Now it's like, you know, liberal, and it's like, I don't think so, you know, because she's so set in her views. But when she was on the Today Show, yeah, I thought she was hot. You know, I'd say that, yeah. But now, I mean, after 9/11, you know, and it started with the Concert for America, which was done right after 9/11, and all these celebrities contributed. But then they wouldn't follow up, as Bill O'Reilly pointed out, they wouldn't follow up as to what was being done with the money, you know, to make sure that the money went to who it said it was going to be going for. And then it went from there to the war in Iraq, which I believe was, and still is, was justified because, you know, badass Saddam Hussein, madass, if you take Saddam and turn it around, you get madass. Madass Hussein kept defying and sticking his nose and doing exactly what Iran is doing now. But mm-hmm. Bush took care of it. He had a set of balls, and he wasn't going to take no for an answer, and he did what he said he was going to do. He's not wavering like Obama is on Iran. That's another issue. Between Iran and North Korea, you know, we got some serious world problems.
But we also have to learn to pick our battles.
Exactly.
We cannot go after everybody.
I know. Unfortunately, we can't.
No, we can't.
Yeah,
and
I know.
The thing is it's so hard to sit there and say, okay, we need to go after this person. Yes, you know, the whole 9/11 thing did cause us to go over there. Was it justified? There were points, yes. But there was also points with Bush that I truly believe that the whole reason why he went after Saddam Hussein was not exactly for 9/11.
No, it had nothing to do with 9/11. It had to do with the fact that, you know, we had those no-fly zones, and we had our soldiers that kept getting shot down over those no-fly zones, and Madass kept thumbing his nose at the United Nations, which turns out to be such a pussy group, you know, the United Nations, please. I mean, they couldn't decide on anything if they had it right in front of them, you know. I say disband the United Nations. That's what I say. But Bush, that was why he went after them. No other reason. It wasn't, you know, anything else, anything to do with his father. I don't believe that. The reason they didn't sign those weapons of mass destruction, because we kept saying for 3 weeks, before we actually went into that country, we kept saying, oh, yes, we're going, we're preparing, we're getting ready. Well, Madass wasn't stupid. He watched the news. He got rid of those weapons. They're probably in Syria. That's probably where they ended up. They either ended up in Syria or they ended up in Iran. One of the two places. That's how come we couldn't hardly, we did find some. Mustard gas and a few other things, but that's how come we couldn't find a lot of it, was because we broadcasted the fact that we was going over there, and before, and we, you know, before we went over there. Yeah, same thing in that movie, In the Army Now, Pauly Shore.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's a funny movie. Sometimes they'll come on CMT. I know you're so countrified and so southern that, you know, you do watch CMT, right?
Steve, I do not have cable because
I
live in such a small town that you have to have satellite.
Okay.
And I don't like satellite, and therefore I choose not to have it.
All right. Well, anyway, the movie about him and his buddy goes into the Army, and they're water purifiers. They go overseas to, I think it's Libya or someplace like Libya, and they get captured, and it's like they ask the guy, the head guy, it's like, well, how'd you know we were coming? He's like, oh, I was watching the American news. That's how I knew you was coming.
Mm.
Same thing. That's exactly what happened before before we invaded Iraq. Yeah, not invaded, liberated. We liberated Iraq. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Before we liberated Iraq, for 3 weeks, we was preparing to go out. Actually, for several months, because you know it was 1 year after 9/11 when Bush made the speech that, you know, he started concentrating his efforts on Iraq, and then between September and then March when we actually went in, March of 2003. So you have, 7 months to prepare, to move weapons, and to, you know, get everything in order, and then that's what happened. That's how come we couldn't find nothing. So we've been talking with Soul here, and you have anything else you'd like to say?
No, dear.
You do realize you've been on the phone with me for over an hour.
Yeah, thank God I have free nights and weekends, or you'd have to pay me back for my cell phone bill. It's bad enough I've already run it up to $131 voting for Dancing with the Stars.
I pay $1 per day on mine, and then I have free time between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. That's why, to plug my shows, I have a show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time. I have one Sunday morning at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, and then one Monday morning at 6 o'clock Mountain Time in the morning. So, because it's all free time. So that's why I do two-hour shows, and I bloviate beyond repair about anything I want to talk about. And luckily I have people like you and Daryl who call in, and I'm definitely grateful. So anything else you
want
to say?
You've gotten me to call in, and even though I don't like doing it, because quite frankly I don't like having everybody listen to me talk, I do it because I like to amuse you and let you feel like, you know, somebody's actually paying attention. Now, we are paying attention, just some of us choose not to call in.
Right.
So.
No, I agree with that. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I can't tell how many people is actually calling in or listening to the show currently. Some reason that's not coming up, but all right, well, we've been talking with Soul here, and anything else?
You keep asking me that, and I keep saying no, and you keep...
Okay, well, all right, well, we're going to end our conversation with Soul here, and thank you for calling in. It's,
mm-hmm.
as always, very entertaining.
No, of course.
So,
just do not tell people that I called in, for goodness sake.
I can have more people listen to the show, to the download. By the way, for archive purposes, today is Thursday, November 19th, 2009. This is your host, DJ Stevie P, and this is My Turn to Speak, a recap show from previous episodes. And we have been talking with Soul, and Daryl. And Daryl had to leave early, and Sol is getting off now. So thank you for calling in, Sol. And I'll talk to you on the flip side.
Okay.
Okay. Good night. Okay, that was Sol. And all right, so our number to call in, if anybody else wants to call in, we have 34 minutes left, is 347-850-1572. So far we've only played one song, so we're going to play about three in a row unless somebody decides to call in, and then I'll cut one of the songs off. We're going to start with an 80s classic. This is called Love Changes by Clonny Fisher. So this is my turn to speak here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.
I
Okay, and we're back, and we got 23 minutes left if anybody else wants to call in. The phone number is 347-850-1572. Just to conclude what me, Daryl, and Sol was talking about, I want to say this. What do I want to say? Okay. I'll just say this. Look, if Obama has to prove to me that he's worthy, okay, 60 million people voted for him, okay, over 60 million. It wasn't a landslide, but I think it was like 5 percentage points, okay, but people that voted for him, all of a sudden they thought, and there was one, and I saw it on a program where this one woman, she's like, oh, now he can give me money. And the person asked, well, where does he get the money from? It's like, well, wherever he gets his stash from, but it's Obama money, but now, give me what's mine. And the point is that we're headed down a road of socialism. Okay, we're headed down this road, and if we don't stop this crazy train, I don't have that song, so, but if we don't stop this crazy train from rolling down the tracks, we're going to be rolling down the river, okay, and there's not going to be anything to stop us, and there's going to be no turning back. So, yeah. Anyway, so there's 21 minutes left of the show. The call-in number is 347-850-1572. And we've been discussing several topics tonight. And we're going to be discussing them more tomorrow night when I actually have a show. By the way, at this point, and I'm not a fan, but I have several Facebook friends that are fans of the Georgia Bulldogs. Well, unfortunately, today they lost their mascot, who's actually a Bulldog, UGA 7. It's the seventh one in the series. Anyway, the dog passed away today. So this is for those people that are fans of the Georgia Bulldogs, and, you know, as sad as it is, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. I will not express my personal feelings about the Bulldogs at this moment. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry for your loss. And maybe, you know, things will look up soon for the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC. So also, I want to say this. I saw a movie one time where a woman had walked down the aisle three times but never gotten married, and she was on her fourth time, and the jilted grooms told this columnist, explained the story, and so he wrote this big op-ed story about her, and well, she turned around and trashed him, got him fired. He went to the town to learn the real story about her, and then they ended up falling in love, and she ran out of on him at the altar also. For those that are not sure what that movie is, it's Runaway Bride with Julia Roberts and what was his name? I forgot his name right now. Richard Gere, Julia Roberts. Anyway, she said something to him. She said, you know, not once did you put yourself into your columns. I don't want to do that here. I want to put myself, my feelings, and even those that things that are private or semi-private, my thoughts into my show. And I will say this. I have had many people over the years that I have adored in a romantic situation. But most of them didn't turn out the way I would have hoped it would have turned out. I found out yesterday that one of these people is pregnant, and although I think back and it's like, I think back to that time a few years back of, you know, when I knew her and the attraction that was there. But although I'm, you know, sad because I'm someone who's single, have no children. Eventually I want children. I want a wife now, not a husband. I want a wife. But I just, I wish her nothing but the best down there in Mississippi where she lives. And I'm happy for her. Obviously things weren't meant to be. I was told back when one of the reasons she didn't, at first she was attracted to me, but one of the reasons that it didn't pan out was because I was a Republican. So, but technically I would call myself a conservative. I really wouldn't call myself a Republican because that's so undefined right now. But anyway, so that's neither here nor there, but that's that. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We've got 15 minutes left of the show, so we're going to cut off the guest call-in, and we're going to play another song, and we will be back in just a few minutes to wrap everything up. So here's a song from Elton John.
Everything and nothing all in one. When you found me, I was feeling like a cloud across the sun. I need to tell you how you light up every second of the day. But in the moonlight, you just shine like a beacon on the bay. And I can't explain, but there's something about the way you look tonight. Takes my breath away. It's that feeling I get about you deep inside, and I can't describe, but it's something about the way you look tonight. Take my breath away. From my heart.
was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña colada and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape. My lady, I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like piña colada.
Okay, we are back, and that was Take On Me by A-ha, and before that was Rupert Holmes with Escape. So the guest calling number was 347-850-1572, and we are about to end our show. Shortly, very shortly, we will be ending our show. But just 1 second here. I do want to say that tomorrow night we will be talking about sports. We'll be talking about politics. We'll be talking about all of it tomorrow night. The show comes on at 8 o'clock Mountain Time. That could change, but I doubt it. But it's 8 o'clock Mountain Time, and it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast, 9 o'clock Central Time Zone, and 7 o'clock out on the Pacific Time Zone. So, yeah, that's that. Now, we got 2 minutes left. We're going to go ahead and say goodbye. We're going to close out with a song. And I said I was going to play one Disney song, so this is it to close out the show. Until tomorrow night, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars, and remember to tune in and tell your friends about DJ Stevie P's My Turn to Speak. Have a wonderful night from beautiful 21-degree Sun Valley, Idaho. Good night.
The races, I'm going places. Might be a long shot, not gonna waste it. This is the big race, and it's calling my name.